Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. DuQuoin, Illinois hosts USAC's final race of 2017. Late models run their second Gateway Dirt Nationals in St. Louis. And we will tackle a common topic here on Racers Reunion. Was racing better then or now? We've got some discussion points to hit you up with. We're going to go through all that and more. Well, welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, December the 18th, 2017. We are live from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing. We are on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and Speedway Report. .com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us until the top of the hour. I want to say Merry Christmas. Big Christmas season coming up. We are 1 week away from the big day, which means we are 6 days away from the guys going out and shopping. Good luck, fellas. But Merry Christmas season, everybody. I also want to wish Happy Hanukkah to everybody celebrating the Festival of Lights, as tonight is night number 7 of their celebration. So if you're spending your night with us, Happy Hanukkah to you. Thanks for checking out Speedway Report tonight. Do have a little bit of a victory lane lap. Yes, had a gap last week, couldn't find anything, got a little bit tonight. The USAC midgets were indoors in DuQuoin, Illinois in the Junior Napper 55. They ran an indoor 1/6 mile dirt oval in the Southern Illinois Center. And Christopher Bell, NASCAR truck superstar, took the lead with 4 laps to go and took the checkered flag in that race. Christopher Bell is probably the Kyle Larson or Eric Jones within 3 to 4 years from now, if you're not following close enough. Remember the name Christopher Bell. He'll be in Cup in a few years, and he will be a big star in NASCAR Cup in a few years. Talk about that dirt late model race, the second annual one that they held in the Dome in St. Louis. Held three nights of racing with practice and qualifying preliminaries. The big features Saturday night, UMP Modifieds was won by Ray Bollinger. $10,000 to him for the modified race there. The dirt late models, wow, Bobby Pierce was your winner. $30,000 to the winner. Wow, Pearson with a nice paycheck heading into Christmas week. Good stuff. This was a big event that they tried last year. Was a major success. They made some improvements. This thing got off to a great start in its second year, the Dirt Nationals at the Dome in St. Louis. Hope this goes for a long period of time, because I like bridging the gap all through winter with some racing if we could get there, especially this time of year. It gives us... I was going to say radio show host, but video, television show host as well. Something to talk about. We like the on-track action there. We wanted to thank the St. Louis Rams of the NFL for moving out of St. Louis and into Los Angeles, clearing the way, basically, for the Gateway Dome. They left a nice building in their wake, perfect for some indoor dirt short track racing from some stock cars and some modifieds. Works well for me. I love it. It's turned into a big event. Wish them well in the years to come. Naturally, the first year of the event in 2016, so many keyboard warriors came out of the woodwork to criticize them. And yeah, I'm sure they had a big punch list the first year of an event of that magnitude, this size. And they fixed a lot of things, got it running much smoother, much better use of the facility, I think. A lot smoother, worked out a lot of the bugs. And they had a tremendous field in all classes. They were running 7 and 8 heat races, half a dozen B mains, a qualifying, and some locked-in starts on Friday night, made for a big field and big racing on Saturday and Saturday night. So, you know, two big thumbs up to the Gateway Dirt Nationals that they held. I think that's wonderful. That's racing going on today in 2017. As we had in our teaser and some social media posts, racing was better back in the day that we always talk about here on Racers Reunion, which is a large part of our audience, or it began as such, as we began to, you know, racing how it used to be and how much better it is. Not everything, Some things, yes. Some things, no. Racing better then, racing better now. Obviously, with the Dirt Gateway Nationals, better now. I think this is a tremendous event. I can't remember any kind of event like this being run in a long time, except the early 80s. I remember the ASA. Remember the ASA, for starters, one throwback reference there. They ran in the Pontiac Silverdome, which at the time the Detroit Lions played in. And let's see. I want to say the early 80s, the 82, 83. They ran in January, and it was a 100-lap feature inside. Yeah, the pavement late models ran on the, you know, football field. I don't think if the thing was a quarter mile, it was a quarter mile on the outside wall. That's for sure. I can't even remember who won the darn thing. But it was one of the big names, probably like Eddie or Seneca or Trickle or something like that. But they ran this 100-lapper inside in the Pontiac Silverdome. It's been a lot of years since we ran full-size stock cars inside like this successfully. Now we've got this with St. Louis, so that's fantastic for that. Now, what I really wanted to A to B about this tonight is the press release last week of the field for the Clash at the Daytona International Speedway coming up in February. This really tripped my trigger as one more topic, and we've repeated this again. It was that racing better then or racing better now. We remember how the Clash started. Simple, short, and for a lot of money. We ran it in 1980 for the first time, or was it 79? The pole winners is 79. We raced it in 80 in February, and it had we had about a dozen guys in it. It was simply the pole winners from the previous year go to this 20-lap, 50-mile race at Daytona, and $50,000 to win. Now, this was back in the day when the NASCAR Grand National drivers, the prize money mattered to these guys. This was a big difference in their paycheck and how they made their living week to week and what percentage of the purse that they got. They needed this money for a decent paycheck. So to put $50,000 on the nose when the Daytona 500 didn't pay a lot more was a really big deal. We had, I think it was like 18 grand for second, or 15, 16, something like that, and it dropped to $10,000 to start. So it was a big deal to win a pole and be part of this race. Now, I don't begrudge the guys today for all the money that they do make, and I don't begrudge NASCAR for the tremendous growth that they've had in the sport over the years. But you got to understand the context of the race back in 1980. To be part of this thing was a nice, big, easy paycheck for these guys, and they needed it for grocery money. So to put $50,000 on the nose of this thing, that paid more than a lot of the point-paying races did on the tour. So it mattered, but what I really want to look at here is the simplicity of it, or the eliteness of the field. There was no padding of the field. It was the pole winners for the previous year. They ran the race. The idea was the fastest of the fast. Done. Simple as that. Now, bear with me here, as I want to pull up my page here from the email I got. Where is it here? From NASCAR Marketing Communications. It announced the field for the Clash, which we know has gone through several incarnations, shootouts. Busch Clash, Budweiser Shootout, whatever, and it's kind of fallen in previous years, returned to the pole-winning format last few years. In previous years, they struggled for a way to make it, how to create it, who was in it, who was not, and manufacturers and points and owners and all this crap. Anyway, we have 2017 pole award winners. We had 14 drivers win a pole in 2017 that would be eligible to run the race this coming February. Ryan Blaney, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Eric Jones, Matt Kenseth, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Martin Truex Jr. Now, Dale Earnhardt Jr. announced his retirement, and Matt Kenseth somewhat kind of retired because he didn't have a ride, and rather to step into something uncompetitive to just to be there. He doesn't want to drive anything that he can't compete for a championship. I don't blame him. So that leaves us 12 drivers. Now, if Kenseth could come up for a ride for this race, which maybe he could, that would be 13 from pole awards. But here's where it gets watered down and we get into the 2000s, what we've always done to pad the field and make it look good for television. Former Daytona 500 pole award winners are also allowed to go in this race. Why? Why? What was wrong with poll winners from last year? This adds three more to the field. Austin Dillon, Jimmy Johnson, and, of course, one of NASCAR's favorite names, Denica Patrick. Now, they convoluted so many rules over the years to get Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Denica Patrick into any event that they possibly could just come up with any format. They also have three more drivers. Who are they? My kryptonite drivers. They guys that, from the word I hate, P word. No, not Patrick. Playoffs. There's three drivers eligible for the from last year's playoffs. Casey Kane, Jamie McMurray, and Ryan Newman. That gives eligible drivers for this race to 20, minus Earnhardt and Kenseth. Let's say, for instance, they don't go to this thing. That gives us 18. You start putting just too many guys in this, too many drivers. I shouldn't say guys because we are talking about Denica Patrick. There's no elite feeling or special feeling to this race anymore. If you only get six or seven drivers, which I think they've had, I think the smallest field they ever had for the Clash was seven, and I'm going to get to more about this train of thought here shortly, but what's wrong with that? Is that that's not good enough for TV? Are we not padding it enough for fans in the stands? What do they want to see? I am what you call a racing purist. Yeah, I think you have rules, you have eligibility, you have procedures, but you don't make games and gimmick them to tweak them, as what they, that's what NASCAR uses the word, to make something into what it isn't. I think the idea of pole winners into a race in Daytona, I love it. Great idea. I love the 20-lap format that they used to have. You could make it a longer event. That's fine. But here's another thing that they don't, that they have in this race that I don't like. And I know it's been around for a long time, that we've done it since about 1991 or so, was have some form of segments. We always had 20 laps. It was a straight 20 right through 1990. In 91, they started running 10 laps and then inverting the field and run another 10 laps. And silly, that's when you get into WWE circus stuff like that. I think the playoff format in general for championships and the chase falls into the WWE circus format. It's no question. I know the Daytona 500 pole winners, they did that so Denica Patrick could run this race. Do you think if Denica Patrick had not won the Daytona 500 pole in 2013, that rule would be in place? I don't think it would be. That idea, once they had her in the race, they could make that format. Once she wins the Daytona 500 pole, they could make a rule eligibility like that, and then that pole winner could go in the race. Well, why not the winner from the, or the pole winner from the Brickyard 400 or the Coke 600 or the Southern 500? What's wrong with that? No, Denica Patrick won the pole at the Daytona 500. That's why they want her in there. And there's nothing wrong with having Jimmy Johnson and Austin Dillon in the race, but let's face it, Austin Dillon is not nearly the general public draw that Denica Patrick is. Just a way to water down racing once again when they think they're doing, they know they're not doing something better than they think they are. They being NASCAR in what they do. Now, this goes to the bigger picture. We talked about the Clash field. It's kind of like a microcosm of some other discussion that went on today. I try not to refer too much to another auto racing talk radio channel. I like Racers Reunion. I like where we broadcast. I like our voices. I will admit easily, though, yes, I do listen to other radio auto racing talk networks. This morning, I got all wound up because I listened to Sirius XM NASCAR. Their morning show hosts Pete Pistone and Mike Bagley talked a lot about this general topic that I brought up tonight. Not the Clash in particular. At least I didn't hear them. It's a four-hour show for those guys, so I didn't hear the whole thing. But what they did talk about was how NASCAR has made what they call enhancements over the years to the racing. Now, enhancement, let's look at this word here. We look at, as a Google definition, enhancement. Here's the meaning of enhancement: an increase or improvement in quality, value, or extent. Enhancements, in their opinion, the stage races. Enhancements, playoffs. to me, these are not enhancements. They're opposite of enhancements. They're detriments to the sport. They don't increase or improve in quality, in my opinion. They certainly don't increase or improve the value of the racing product or the extent of it. No, these are not these are not improvements or increases on anything that NASCAR does. They brought up the term, I said it before, a purist, which is what I am, which Bagley readily admitted that purists don't like playoffs, don't like stages. They want the green flag to fly, then they want the checkered flag to fly, and everything in between just naturally plays out. My hand is raised pretty high for those watching on video. I'm all about that. That's what racing should be all about. So many other forms of motorsports do that. Oh, too many don't. They play these circus games like we see here. And as Bag said, the purists, the type of form, that type of fan, that form of fan, the purist, is going to be left in the dust. I was yelling at the radio in my truck, of course, Bagley, have you not seen the empty seats and the grandstands being torn down at all these tracks over the last 10 to 15 years? Duh. NASCAR, you created your own problem. Now, Pete Pistone and Mike Bagley, they are on Sirius XM NASCAR. They both also work with MRN Radio. All these entities are owned by the guys down in Daytona Beach, our subsidiary. MRN is a subsidiary of the International Speedway Corporation, which is just on paper, just down the hallway from NASCAR. It's all under the same family umbrella. Their paychecks come from NASCAR, so they're on board with these terrible decisions that have really changed the sport from what you and I love when we're kids, or what I did when I was a kid and the decades ago. They've changed the sport so much, it's made the must-see TV on Sunday afternoon into, I kind of keep track of NASCAR because I got the show on Monday. What really forms a racing grabs me? It's certainly not the Cup race. Winston Cup Grand National Racing back in the day, I ran my whole schedule, my whole day around Sunday afternoon on TNN or TBS or whoever had it. Now, what they've created is a monstrosity. These are not enhancements. The Clash field, it is how it is, very watered-down style. The whole sport has been watered down by what they think are enhancements, and they're not. They're opposites of enhancements. They're taking away from it. More from the NASCAR mentality. This made the rounds in the last couple of days because of the race over the weekend. I told you about Christopher Bell winning the USAC midget race out in Illinois. Well, NASCAR.com took the report from Bell winning the race from USAC and were able to concoct a story on NASCAR.com writing that sprint car win in USAC midget feature. That's what Bell won. He won the sprint car race in the USAC midget feature. A sentence that made no sense. And within a week, this is the last week that I know three people from NASCAR.com, Kenny Bruce, Holly Kane, and Matthew Dillner have all been let go from their jobs on NASCAR.com. Kenny Bruce and Holly Kane, two fantastic writers, cover the sport well. Matthew Dillner, host of Garage Cam, you may have seen on NASCAR.com, and a good cameraman. I don't know what to say about this. Well, I do know what to say about it. NASCAR.com lets experienced writers and media people go that have spent a lot of years in this sport, have a lot of knowledge of it. Read between the lines there. Their paychecks are probably a little higher, and they can get some interns, younger guys, or younger people for that matter, to go and put this stuff in these stories up on the website, don't know a thing about racing. And that's kind of like the big picture here of what we've been doing with playoffs in NASCAR, stages in NASCAR, is that we've got people in there making decisions, running the sport, writing press releases, steering the ship that don't know anything about racing. And here you go. You got people that know the sport out of a job, looking for work. You got people that don't know anything about it, making decisions and steering the ship, and the empty seats pile up. Yet these guys are cashing checks after checks after checks from these television revenues. And the bubble has got to burst. When's it going to burst? Well, let's see. Could happen sooner than you think. Monster Energy, your current Cup Series sponsor, has signed for a two-year sponsorship for the Cup Series, a Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. That is in 2017-2018. There is an option for 2019 and 2020. As of right now, as I read this, December 18th, they have not picked up that option for 2019 and 2020. Their deadline is in December, like right now, like within 13 days, and they have asked for an extension that takes them into early next year. NASCAR is actually looking already for a replacement for Monster Energy. If Monster Energy is so eager to jump on board with NASCAR Cup and it has worked so well for them, why don't they? What are we waiting for? Sign them up. Let's go. No, they have not renewed it. What's the problem? If I were NASCAR, I should be worried. I don't know. Eventually, these TV contract bubbles have to burst, as well as the Monster Energy title sponsorship bubble could very well burst. Will it matter? Now, France and his guys have already put, you know, nine figures in the bank. They're all rich. I don't know what their children and their grandchildren will be left to feast off of. This is a carcass of NASCAR will be left. And you can see it all. Empty seats, the clash, the playoffs, everything they made, the ornery, very sensitive, hard-driving, hard-racing, white-knuckled heroes that we had of a generation ago, guys that used to have to run the clash for their paychecks, are now making millions for run last, and we just let everybody run it for too much because we need participation trophies so Danica Patrick and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and folks like that can be in front of the camera maximum amount of time. Not the driver's fault. I don't fault Jr. I don't fault Patrick, but I fault NASCAR for making formats that they think are exciting, they think are enhancements, and are actually causing all of their empty seats and lower TV ratings. In between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our site, SpeedwayReport.com. We've got TV replays on the site. We've got articles from myself, Paul Blofest, and Steve Zonger. Posted one last week about Doug Coby's 2017 season. He is the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour champion. Sat down with him for a one-on-one as he looks back on 2017. Head to SpeedwayReport.com. I'll say it right. Yeah, big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work this evening. You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. Big thanks out to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. Busy with the show, didn't get a chance to go one-on-one with you guys, but I thank you very much for being here. And if you tuned in late or would like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report, we can be viewed on demand at SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and on the Speedway Report Facebook page because all of our shows are archived. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. This is our final live broadcast of the 2017 calendar year. We will be back live on Monday, January the 8th, with news from New Smyrna's Red Eye 100, Daytona's Roar Before the 24, and set up the Chili Bowl for you. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Thank you for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.